So I am drawn to a simple and uncomplicated prayer in the film and the book, Eat, Pray, Love. All right, how many of you have seen it or read it? Okay. There is this moment when Elizabeth Gilbert remembers her first time praying. She was at the beginning of a very painful separation process from her partner, and she was in turmoil. And it's the middle of the night, and she kneels down, and she says, "Hello, God. How are you? I'm Liz. It's nice to meet you. I've always been a big fan of your work." And then she carries on and says, "I'm sorry to bother you so late at night, but I'm in serious trouble. I'm not an expert at praying, but can you help me? I don't know what to do. Please, tell me what to do." And there's this scene in the film happens to break me open every time. And I'm a crier when I watch movies, and I cry every time. I love the honesty and the clunkiness of it all. And it reminds me that no matter how sophisticated I can be with my prayers, God always remains a mystery to me. And in some ways, each time I kneel, I am reintroducing myself to one who is constantly a mystery, known and yet unknown. And each exchange, we start afresh. And so Jesus tells the story, right? A man, an upright, good man, a man who followed the rules, who prays the liturgy, who's leading a community of faith, and he's in the temple praying. And while he's praying familiar words, he looks over his shoulder, and he sees a man who earns his living by swindling from other people. In fact, his own people. And his prayer continues, "Thank God I am not like those people, especially this man, this tax collector." While this man, who has also come to pray, two people praying in a place where prayer happens before God. This man who makes an unsavory living offers a prayer of confession and asks for forgiveness. We cannot judge just by observing another person. The interiority of our lives is made known to God alone. So this is a story about prayer. It's a story about forgiveness. It's a story about humility. But when we peel off the layers of this core story, we realize that it is also a story that challenges comparison. Dominic John Crossan modernizes this parable, and he uses these words. He says, "The Pope and a pimp go down to St. Peter's Cathedral to pray." That is how stark the contrast is between these two people at this time. It is in the presence of two opposites. One judges, and the other asks for forgiveness. Isn't it true that so often we judge ourselves by our intentions, and we judge other people by their behavior? Oh, how it would be if it was reversed. And yet, going deeper, Henry Nouwen in his writings describes that judgment of others is more accurately a form of self-deception. For my friends, deep down, any two people in an area, any two people are not that far away from each other. perhaps the very thing that the Pharisee doesn't like in the tax collector, he knows in himself. One commentator writes that it was very expensive to be a religious observer in those days, because not only were you paying land tax and Roman tax, you were paying temple tax as well. I wonder if the Pharisee looked over at the tax collector and was more aware if he would recognize himself in this man. Rejecting the other is in rejecting this part of myself. And this beautiful image that you have on the front of your bulletin, if you take a step back and you look at the story and you see it not just as two people being compared, but you think about the inner life of each of us, both parts are welcome in the temple of God. The part that we despise and the part that we brag about, both are welcome. I have, in my own spiritual journey, really appreciated the writings of Parker Palmer, founder and senior partner emeritus of the Center for Courage and Renewal. He is also a member of the Religious Society of Friends, also known as the Quakers. And in his book, A Hidden Wholeness, he describes the journey from living this divided life, the life where we tend to compare ourselves to others, judge others, and accept ourselves, and go back and forth. It is actually this divided interior life. And he describes the journey of moving from a divided life to an undivided life. A divided life is a life of compartmentalization, where parts of ourselves are kept separate from each other. And he gives a few examples. He says sometimes we find ourselves refusing to invest ourselves in the work that we're doing. We diminish its quality. We distance ourselves from those that it's meant to serve. And in doing that, part of us is kept distant from another part. For where are we when we are at work? Are we checking out? What part of us is there, and what part of us is absent? Another example, he says, is like when we remain in settings or in relationships that are steadily killing our spirits. Part of us is there, and part of us is dying by being there. Another example is when we're harboring our beliefs from those who disagree with us. Hiding our beliefs from those who disagree with us to avoid conflict, challenge, or change. And we keep silent. And a part of us is not present in community. Now, dividedness is a personal issue, right? It's a personal issue. But when we're in community, it becomes a problem for everyone. I love the way Rumi, you know, the Sufi poet Rumi, just kind of nails it sometimes. And this is what he says: if you are here unfaithfully with us, you're causing terrible damage. In other words, show up. Show up. That's the invitation. But boy, it's hard, because so many of the settings of our lives are unsafe to show up. It's easy for us to make spaces where we can show up with our intellect. It's easy for us to make spaces where we show up and emote. It's easy for us to make spaces where we parade our successes and our egos show up. But creating space for the soul is difficult. Parker Palmer describes the soul as that part of us that communes with God, that part of us that brings wholeness and life into our world. And so, my friends, I invite us to find these spaces, to create these spaces where each of us can name those parts of ourselves that even we reject. For in the eyes of an accepting and loving other, we begin to accept ourselves and integrate. Parker Palmer calls these communities communities of solitude. Communities of solitude, where I get to be my unique alone self, and you get to be your unique alone self, and we are there together. Pharisee, part of us. Tax collector, part of us. Bringing it out into the open and asking God's grace in places of honesty. Now, in this community, there are a few spaces where we are making that honest and humble place for self-integration. The Pilgrim Study is becoming one of those spaces. The Universal Christ Study. The Wednesday community that gathers for reflection and contemplation. Members of the choir who get together. Members of the Altar Guild as they do flowers and talk. There are places in this community where we are beginning to build safety so that we can show up. Non-invasive spaces, and also spaces that are not evasive. My prayer is that we would grow in our humility with each other and make safety for all that we bring to St. Catherine's. Amen.